And welcome to Pod Return to the Waking Sands. We are a Final Fantasy XIV companion podcast where we explore the lore and story of Hydaelyn and beyond. My name is Jen, and I'm joined by my co-host and researcher.
I'm Levi.
Hello, Levi.
Hello, Jen. How's it going?
It's going.
Nice. Jen's tired.
I just ate a lot of quesadilla.
Yes.
Yeah.
And two drinks, or like 1.75 drinks.
Sure.
You ate those two.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of eating, Jen, we're here today to talk about Culinarian.
Oh my god, fuck me. This is true.
I'm hoping I can leave that in for effect. Anyway, yeah, so Jen, don't worry, we'll warm you up with some hot Culinarian action today. So we're doing the job quest through level 50. But before we get into that, Jen, let's talk about Culinarian in general.
Sure. Yeah. Like what does the receptionist tell us about the history of the culinary arts in Limsa Limsa?
Before then, Jen, let's zoom out a bit more.
Jesus Christ. All right. Food.
Food. What is it?
Who invented food?
Anyway, no. In Final Fantasy XIV, like in many games, food gives you long-term buffs to your stats and to your abilities. At a bare minimum, you get a 3% experience bonus from food. I think that every food in the game gives you this bonus, citation needed.
Yeah.
Cool. And this may seem like a small amount, but this adds up over time. I always rock a fat stack of food items on me, Jen. So whenever I'm leveling up, I can just pop some orange juice or boiled eggs or whatever, which cost a few gil apiece, and get that XP bonus.
Yeah.
But I do not usually eat stat food myself, except when I'm doing hard content.
Or I do it when I'm crafting.
Oh, for sure. I mean, crafting requires food. In-game crafting does. You cannot do those difficult recipes without food. It's part of the balancing of it. Same thing goes for end-game raiding, too. You need those food buffs to be on par for that content.
Yeah.
But even before then, especially when you are undergeared, for instance, when you need a little bit of a stat buff to maybe, you know, level up your crafter or whatever, you can use food to kind of bridge the gap that your gear doesn't. And honestly, a lot of those food items are sold for pretty cheap on the market board. I assume people make them for their own leveling and then sell them or whatever, because you can get some mid-tier food on the cheap.
This is true.
Yeah. As far as crafting goes, I think that Culinarian has the most annoying ingredients list of all the crafting jobs. More so than Alchemist, even.
No, it's obscene.
Most food items require 4+ ingredients to craft, and so you gotta do a lot of legwork or shopping before you actually sit down to do your craft. And it's really annoying, too, because you might need, like, one parsley for a thing, but people sell stacks of 99. And
oh, my God. It feels like it's gotten so bad lately. I had a lot of stuff with my retainer, and I was very lucky. I did this New Game Plus, so I just pre-made everything that I needed. I bought some of it, but some of it was actually really expensive. I'm like, no, fuck you. I'm going to make two batches, and I'll sell the rest. Assholes. I'm not, like, paying $7,500 for a high quality crowned pie. I'll just make it. I'll make six of them and sell five of them back and like, fuck all y'all. But like, there are accounts selling multiple stacks, like a dozen or more stacks of 99 things, retainer names like Dark One 1, Dark One 2, Dark One 3, Dark One 4. Like, these are just people camping in there and just making gil by selling bullshit.
Yep. Gonna corner the lettuce market.
It's really annoying. And I miss, there were sometimes, that's not all the time, but it feels like it's just really bad anymore.
What's annoying to me is that these ingredients are hardly ever useful outside a few recipes. So there might be one to three recipes that you need, I don't know, just say like blood currants for. There are things that there is just one recipe that they are needed for, and that's it. So there's a whole gathering item here, and if you retain or gather, you get 50 of those.
Yeah, exactly. And then you just, I don't know, camp on them until the next time you need them, which is
never, because you'll never need these things again.
Yeah. Luckily I'm kind of a hoarder, I guess, in the game, because I have four retainers and they're all, each one like holds, you know, their theme of product. So I have one that holds all of my fishing and culinarian stuff. So for a lot of this, I was just like, oh, he's got it. And he's been holding onto it for like a year. I'm like, wow. Hey, your time has come.
What a waste of a retainer.
Mirror apple.
What I'm saying, though, is that, say, leatherworker, for instance, those things take alamin or hides, water, whatever.
That shit goes in everything.
Exactly. If you have to buy, say, a stack of 50 boar leathers, that shit will sell back easy.
And yeah, I mean, you'll use it.
Yes.
But you could sell it back for $1 billion.
Also that.
Yeah.
If I want a sprig of chamomile, I have to either buy 99, because that's what people are selling things for, stacks of 99 chamomile, or go out and teleport to some zone and harvest it myself. Neither of which is an appealing prospect when I'm trying to knock out this quest line.
Like, hey, pro tip, motherfuckers. Like, they make me mad. Sell a stack of 20 at like 50% more. If you're selling a stack of 99 and you're charging 10 bucks a piece, if somebody's selling a stack of 40 and they're charging 20 bucks a piece, guess who I'm buying from? Out of fucking principle.
I don't need 99 or 40 chamomile gin. I need maybe one in my life.
So, like, I'll buy that stack of 99. I only need three or whatever. I'm selling it back, but I'm selling it back in multiples of 5 or 10.
It's completely stupid. It's just chump change. Like, yes, you can flip the chamomile to make a few hundred gil profit.
It's the principle.
Great. Okay.
So I'm not going to be like that guy. I'm not going to let that guy dictate the market.
So that's bad enough with those harvest ingredients. But if you've got a dish that requires fish, though, get fucked.
You're going to be paying some dollars.
Yeah, you're paying some dollars for fish, or you've got to get your fishing job equipped, hopefully, if you've got that level.
Or you got a fish or retainer, get
them
out there.
And then figure out the bait and the location, and then RNG it yourself if you can't buy a fish for a reasonable price. After you've fished it once, yes, if you have a fishing retainer, you can have them fish it again. Though I've got to say, for the current end game crafts, like the current best crafting food, you get maybe like 3 of those fish from a single venture.
Yep.
As opposed to 40 ores, for instance. So it's a pretty bum deal, whatever. Fish get fucked.
Mm.
Fish ingredients, fish recipes get fucked.
Apparently.
Anyway, Jen, that's enough about the culinarian mechanics. Let's talk about culinarian in Eorzea.
Olympsa, rather.
Both?
Technically correct. I mean, we can't say Eorzea because we have a reference in this quest line to cuisine in Olda and how it's like fucked. They've salt-bayed the shit out of that. So we can say Olympsa.
I would say that our culinary journey encompasses all of Eorzea.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we are held to Olympsa standards. So
Bismarck standards.
Correct.
Yeah. So Olympsa is the gastronomic capital of Eorzea. This is owing to the fertile lands and seas of Vilbrand, plus its place as Eorzea's foremost trading port, means that they receive foodstuffs and are exposed to cultures from across the world. Previously, recipes would be passed down by word of mouth, but this could cause them to become corrupted by the imperfections of memory and communication. And I'm sure that many people can relate to dealing with some parent or grandparents, you know, just this much flour in a recipe. Kind of hard to replicate their rough.
Yeah, they're not telling you 160 grams.
So one person changed the trajectory of Olympsa's culinary practices. Admiral, this will be a fun one, Jen. Admiral Gulfskif Baldaswin.
I feel like that's a really oversimplified pronunciation of the last name because it is a mouthful. Yeah, Gulfskif Baldaswin.
Okay, actually not too bad.
Yeah.
This guy is also known as the Mast Cleaver, and he resolved to catalog every recipe of note, which is a task I can relate to.
Yep. So what Levi has is the quote-unquote compendium, which is a spreadsheet. Well, it's two things. It's like there's a doc, and then there's a spreadsheet. So there's a document with billions of pages of recipes. And then there's a compendium of that is basically rating all of those recipes with notes on how to change them. So he'll get like a recipe, he'll make it, and then he'll be like, all right, that's like a 3 out of 5 stars. There is a star or a rating system. And then he'll make tweaks to it and hopes to improve it.
Thanks, Jen. But the doc is only things that are not available in cookbooks that I possess. I don't trust any link to stay good over time, so I will grab those directly. But most of these things are referencing cookbooks and page numbers in said cookbooks.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the old mast cleaver. He is said to have spent as much time in the galley as he did giving orders on the bridge. And the guild carries on this legacy, maintaining recipes and coming up with new ones. Speaking of the guild, this is one of the few easy-to-reach places in Limsa. The Aetherite is right by the guild entrance. No running across the aft castle or across the docks to get there.
True. And I wonder if this is like the best spot, one of the best spots for crafting shits, because you've got the Culinarian Guild Aetherite right there, and then you can also get spit out right into Hawker's Alley with market board and summoning bell access within like 5 feet.
I go to the main Aetherite, not the Hawker's Alley Aetherite. I know there's market boards by both, but
I like the one by Hawker's Alley because it's quiet.
Fair.
I don't have to hold X to figure out where the fuck the summoning bell is and among the sea of people.
Both are valid options. Either way, though, yeah. So I spent most of my time here going back and forth from the main Limsa Aetherite and the Culinarian Guild Aetherite, which much faster than sprinting across the fucking aft castle.
It is nice.
Yes.
Yeah. It's such a weird thing to be like, oh my God, we didn't have to run across like the whole aft castle. Like it's not like it's fine.
Well, so I don't know about you, Jen, but for me, for some of these things, you have to make 3 or 4 different crafts. So it's okay, so what can I buy from the guild vendor, or what do I need for the market board? What do I need to gather?
Anything.
Because
yeah,
having that quick teleport is much better. Because if you had to run across that whole plaza to check the smithing guild vendor, for instance, for 4 separate recipes, it'd be a lot more work. Whereas here I can go, okay, so boop, guild, boop, market board, and then I'm out to the whatever gathering points I need, hit return back in Limsa, teleport back to the guild. That adds up over time quite a bit.
No, I agree.
Cool. We head up to the guild receptionist, who mistakes us for a customer at first, but no, we're here to cook, not dine.
Yeah.
They tell us that the guild accepts members from all over, the better to flavor the stew of its membership.
Gross.
However, before we take our place in the pot, we must have the blessing of the guildmaster, Lingseth. Watch out, though. The guild is a sweltering kitchen, and are we sure we can take the heat? Sadly, this is not the prompt for if we're hardcore enough to become a culinarian.
I was hoping it would be, yeah.
Yeah, but no. The question is, Jen, have you the passion to become a culinarian?
Yes, I have the passion.
Jin, can you take the heat?
Okay, well, that one I don't know. Okay, fine.
Yeah, we're in. The backup question would be, will you join the stew?
Ew.
That'd be a pretty good one.
Agree to disagree.
Yes, I will happily become one with the stew.
Because it's always framed like, are you a good enough addition to the stew? As opposed to like, are you stew enough?
My favorite one, I think, is will you swing a hammer for old Brithiel?
Aww.
That was very cute.
That is cute. Man, the blacksmith one, it was a good spectrum. Story, but it's a whole thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Will you swing a hammer for old Brithiel? It's almost like a Christmas song.
Yeah.
Like, O Tenenbaum, will you swing a hammer for old Brithiel?
But
old
no.
Lang Syne.
We do have the passion to cook, so we head over to meet the guildmaster, Lingseth, who is a gray-bearded sea wolf that is the portrait of a chef, down to a chef's hat and hot pads for gloves. At first, he nags us, bet we can't even hold a skillet with those weak limbs. Just kidding. All it takes is passion to cook here. But enough talk. Have at you. With your first skillet.
He gives us a skillet. That's really nice.
Before we move on, though, Jin, let's talk about Lyngseth. His history isn't all that interesting, honestly. He used to be a galley cook on a merchant vessel, and he picked up foreign techniques while he was traveling on said vessel and learned to use exotic ingredients during that time. And then he moved on to the Culinarians Guild to keep on practicing his trade. Pretty wholesome background, all in all.
Yeah, damn. No wives.
No wives or ex-wives or wives that will leave you unlike a skillet.
Yeah. Like, overall, just a nice guy.
So we're on now to our first task.
Just making maple syrup. You take some maple sap, you make some maple syrup.
And a fire shard.
It always throws me for a loop when they say this. The very first thing. All you need is a maple log and a wind shard. And I'm like, what? Wait, what? Oh, right. Those things we just kind of have. Okay.
And they give you a pile of shards, too, at first.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. Do they?
Yes. The first one gives you the requisite shards.
Yeah, it's just something I never even, like, notice anymore.
Great.
And until you run out.
1% of Jin over here.
Well, then you...
Jin, like, got shards.
Kind of, yes. But they're... And only because, like, the FC chest has, like, a shit ton of them, so I never have to think about it until... Two things. I'm on my podcast character, and I don't have that kind of access. And two, if I'm doing higher level crafting on my main character, and I run out of, you know, clusters or whatever, and I have to go grab a handful.
Yeah. No, that FC chest for our main FC was an absolute godsend when I was doing my leveling on my main job.
So good.
Like, I was broke often back then, leveling crafting along with my fighting and casting jobs. So having that available resource, amazing. Thank you to our FC.
Yes. They probably don't know who they are, but thank you anyway.
So anyway, yeah, we make the syrup and it's not bad. Flavor is fine. Consistency, almost there. Good for a novice. And Jin, I'm sure that you know, syrup is used for lots of candies and treats. But did you know, Jin, that boiling down the syrup gets us maple sugar? The simplest ingredient has hidden complexities.
Correct. Don't judge an ingredient by its cover.
Like Jin.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Or do. Whatever.
No.
Yeah, that's it. That's the lesson for level one. Level five! Alright, so this is where we meet. So we've got three, throughout the course of this job, we deal with three people. So the first person we deal with for the first chunk of quests is Ingham. And he's a relatively new addition to the guild. He's slightly more senior than we are, and he will not let us forget it. But he has kind of fucked up a recipe, and he is letting the failure get to him. And Lyngseth, being the, you know, the good guy that he is a little concerned. So he thinks that presenting Ingham with, like, a good meal will snap him out of it. And he asks that we make him some grilled trout. So we do.
Even though it's the second quest, we can't buy all the ingredients in the guild. We have to, hopefully, we know to go to the Hyaline for the trout, which is the fish market in another tower of Lemsa.
Yeah. Pro tip. Seriously.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't go to the market board for them shits, because people will buy it from the Hyaline and resell it on the market board and make a lot of money. Who would do that? I don't know. It seems kind of evil. Anyway, then you also have to make table salt?
Yes,
you but make it's, it. I mean, that's easy. You just buy the rock salt. It's,
yeah, the guild sells rock salt. You make table salt. This is probably what you did to grind up. At least I did, Jin, who leveled legitimately here. I bought a fuck ton of rock salt and made like 300 table salt just to grind out some levels.
You know what's funny? You did that, but I think you needed table salt like one more time.
It's not as common as you would think.
It is not.
It's more than once more, but you're correct, Jin, in spirit. It's not a very useful ingredient. It's not like copper bars where you need those shits forever.
Or like pie crust.
Yeah.
Make a bunch of pie crusts. You'll thank me later.
Thanks, Jin.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome.
So we get the fish, we get the salt, and we make that grilled trout. And our bro, Ingham, is moping in the guild's interior. At first, he resists our overture. You know, he says, you can't solve every problem with food. But then he checks out that trout. The aroma, delightful. The skin, perfectly charred. He wants to sink his teeth into that crispy layer. But, he says, how did we learn to cook well so quickly? Well, Jen, it's a little skill I called being the main character.
We're just real good. Okay, don't ask questions. It's fine. This guy, he's a little hard to deal with. He's like, whatever, I'm fine. Like, guess I'll eat your food, but only because I'm your senior and my feedback to you is a gift. But then he's overwhelmed by how amazing this fucking grilled trout we made is.
So this gets him all anger motivated, and he gives us his old knife as a thank you for the trout.
Yeah, I mean, he's not doing it for the right reasons, but I guess he's just doing it, so whatever.
So that's our first offhand item, the knife.
Yeah, and he's not like, this isn't like, oh my god, thank you so much for making this amazing grilled trout for me. It's more like, you gave me trout, I give you knife, fucking transaction over. Made it very clear.
That's what you think, Ingham, because we're back.
Level 10. Next quest. So old Ingham apparently has been busting his butt ever since we gifted him the trout. So Linkstaff sees this and he's like, all right, I think you could handle a bigger order. And not true. He did not handle the bigger order. So he's made everything except for the main course. Whoops, which is grilled dodo. We are going to make the grilled dodo for him, add it to the shit he's already made, and then this order will be done. Which is, the timing of all of this is really weird. You don't think about it too much. This isn't like a real like kitchen order, which, I mean, you got like 5 minutes. It's not like we showed up right. Maybe we did. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, we make two things of grilled dodo. Make them, deliver them to Ingham. And this reminds me, like, every time you go deliver something to Ingham, he's standing right by these doors. So every time you approach him, the doors open. And I'm like, what's happening? Oh, it's doors. It's the same. It's the doors. So every time I walk up to Ingham, the adjacent doors open. And I walk back and they open again. Like, I hate going up to him because the doors open.
Jen, it's a metaphor for you opening doors for his growth.
Hate it.
Wow. Jen hates opening doors for people.
Yep, drives me nuts.
But we give Ingham the dodo, and he's like, what is this? What is this shit? He's like, oh shit, I forgot the main fucking course of this thing I'm supposed to make.
I don't have any time to make it. I guess I'll have to use yours. Shit. Well, hopefully the other stuff that I made, which is going to be super amazing, will cloud the fact that your stuff is real bad.
But wait. Oh shit. This golden brown hue, perfect diamond pattern of grill lines, seared to perfection, just enough garlic to complement the richness. With such a simple dish, everything must be perfect because it's all on display. And we've done better than Ingham could have done.
I mean, that's really big of him to admit that out loud in our face.
And then he says, what have I done to deserve the indignity of us bailing him out again?
Well, okay, stop framing it that way. That's really bad and really unhealthy for you. But the fact of the matter is, you straight up forgot. Your boss noticed and noticed that you needed help. He's not going to set you up for failure and then have the Bismarck and its reputation take the heat for it. No, no, no. We're going to pick up the pieces. You learn your lesson and carry that forward.
It's okay, Jen, because Ingham always pays his debts. So he's going to pay us in advice. Hey, Jen, guild leaves exist. Go do them.
Right. Which is still like, yeah, the guy's got some issues. Maybe his motivations are a little misguided and he's working out of spite as opposed to leaning into, I don't know, like personal growth or professional growth for like himself. But he does, you know, recognize the fact that we helped him out. He does say, you know, like, hey, thanks. You made something really good. Fuck. and then is like, yeah, he's not a piece of shit, but it's just he's difficult.
Kind of a minor piece of shit.
Maybe. Yeah. You just wish that he'd be a little bit more. What's the word?
He's a turd, not a shit.
A little bit more gracious, I guess, for himself too. And because he's beating himself up and in making this all about, like, you know, us versus them kind of a thing. And it's bad. Don't do that.
Well, don't be too like bad him. For him. He's not done with us yet, because at level 15, we return to Lyngsath, and he says that once again, we have really motivated Ingham. Unfortunately, that effort has not quite translated to output. He's, quote, made a pig's ear o' things again. So Lyngsath can tell right now by looking at Ingham's face that he's fucked up, but Ingham won't tell him why. It's just that something's really got to him right mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. So he thinks that maybe we, you know, his confidant, his best friend.
Right? Yeah, like, oh boy, you're not reading that right at all.
Get him to open up about what the problem is.
But yes, okay, yes. Obviously, when your boss comes to you, it's a little bit of a different dynamic, so let's go. Though, like, us being the golden fucking child in the Bismarck kitchen, being a new employee for like 30 days isn't also a loaded interaction, but
you
whatever.
You mean 30 minutes?
Exactly. So Ingham sees us coming like a mile away. he sees this whole plot. He knows we've been sent by Lyngsath. Like, we're spying on him. Lyngsath considers him incompetent. Again, these are all things that he is telling himself. But he also admits, you know what, it's actually kind of true. So this time he has upset one of the Bismarck's most loyal patrons, a man named Meti Maga. And one of Meti Maga's favorite dishes is the meat mikabob,
which we made, Jen, from the Final Fantasy XIV cookbook.
We did.
It
and
was
it
good.
Is good.
Yeah.
But it's simple, so there are myriad ways you can fuck it up. And that's kind of what he did. So Ingham sees him sitting there, right? And he's like, oh, I know this guy's favorite food is the meat mikabob. I'm just going to like make him one. And I give it to him like complimentary, like, hey, thanks for being so good to the Bismarck. Here's a meat mikabob for you. And it was very bad. It was very bad. Meti Maga's reaction was basically, I'm going to have words with management. So like this just happened. So Ingham is just like, I don't know what to do. I can't go back out there. What do I do? So we go back out there. We literally, we don't say anything in this whole interaction. And we know that because Meti Maga references the fact that we haven't said a word. It's like that scene from 40-Year-Old Virgin where they send, what's his face? What's his character's name?
I think I know, Jen.
Sometimes you know. Andy. You know, his bros at Inatech or the Best Buy or whatever that he's working at, they sick him on a woman who works at a bookstore in the same like little mini mall or whatever. So they were like, Andy, go talk to her, but don't say anything. Just stand there and be cool. And so, so he like walks up. And she sees him kind of like standing there and she's like, can I help you? And he responds with, I don't know. Can you help me? Like, and that's all everything. And she's just like, oh my God, you're so cool, because he can't fucking formulate a whatever. Anyway, that's how I imagine this. We walk up.
Well, Jenna, we are skilled at nonverbal communication.
We just have an aura.
Yes.
Yeah. No, Meti Maga fell for it completely. We walk up and we stand there, obviously as an agent of the Bismarck, and Meti Maga is like, I don't need to hear it. Like, I understand you're probably here to make your apologies, and I just, you know, I was served second-rate food at the Bismarck, and that's completely fucking unacceptable. I'm going to get Ingham fired. I can't allow him to besmirch the Bismarck's good name, and I, you know, if the reputation is to be preserved, I can't let people like Ingham fuck it up. We continue to stand there, not saying anything. So Meti Maga takes that as us not accepting his assessment, and he buys in. He says, you know what? Fair play. Make me another one to reassure me that this is not a sign of things to come, that this is just a one-off fuck up, and we'll go from there.
So we got to go and make him a better Mikabob. This is one of those early quest steps where the story really calls for a high quality food, but the mechanics have not advanced to the point because every single crafting quest has exact same steps to it.
Yeah.
So we're not at the point where we have to start doing high quality shit yet. So we make him a regular ass Mikabob for this very exacting experienced customer.
And I think that totally, yes, this should have been high quality, but narratively, the standard Mikabob for the Bismarck is already at a higher standard. So we make a Bismarck meat Mikabob. What Ingham made was an Ingham meat Mikabob.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Ingabob.
So it kind of works out. So anyway, we
show it to him and he's like, all right, let's go into the kitchen so I can give Lingsath some real-time feedback if I don't like it.
I mean, so honestly, this is like huge. This is like feedback is a gift.
Though it's funny though, because we go to like the display point in the kitchen where all everybody eats their shit
at this weird ass table in the kitchen.
It's a judging table.
Yeah. Yeah. And even if it's just like, no, literally, we're just giving this to you to eat. We don't want to judge. Everybody will eat it here regardless. Whatever. Okay. Yeah. Boy, does he give some feedback. It is all glowing, obviously. So he was like, all right, I'm going to go ahead and tell you what your bro did wrong. Okay. So he overseared the meat, turned it into essentially charcoal. So now it is burnt on the outside and it is dry and overdone. He grilled everything together, meat, tomato, what, like things that require drastically different cooking times. He just threw it all in together and made like a mush of stuff. And oh, he also used way too much salt. Way too much salt. And he is a man, and the Bismarck is also an entity that appreciates the subtle elements and flavors and textures of things speak for themselves without just being overloaded with fucking salt to hide your failures. And so, you know, he's over the moon with our version, of course. Also, I just have to say the way that Mehdi Maga is sitting at the table. He's
slouching at the table.
He's a man spread from head to toe.
Yes.
Yeah. He lives at the table. He's always there no matter where.
I'm assuming this is the default male Rogadin sitting position where they just cannot fit on, quote, normal sized furniture. So they gotta do that.
Yeah, he's like blanketed over.
But it adds to his aura of
superiority. Yes. Superiority. Yes, exactly.
We report back to Lingsath afterwards and he says, thanks for the save. And he told Ingham to thank us too, but Ingham refuses. He's too proud to thank us personally for bailing him out again.
Again.
But regardless though, Lingsath doesn't really care about this one bad experience. He's not here to cater to every diva's, you know, every customer's demands. He's here to train new culinarians. And as long as someone cares about cooking, they have a place here. They don't have to be perfect.
Yeah. The only time he's let somebody go is if they just like don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
I'm like, fair enough.
We've done our time with Ingham now.
Right. Yeah.
We leave Ingham's, him in the dust.
Ingham's arc is done.
He's still toiling in the...
We can assume.
Yep.
Anyway.
In the low-level kitchens.
Yeah.
And we're now on to our time with Diving Dove. Diving Dove is a Hellsguard Rogadin. Everyone's got the same outfit here. They are wearing their waist apron, white shirt, and most people have the little chef's cap.
Yeah.
What is it, Jen?
There's going to be a name for it, and I don't know. Whatever. Okay.
They're wearing a hat of some kind. It's not the conventional chef's hat.
It's not a toque.
Our searches for the style of hat have escaped us. Anyway, they're all wearing it, including Diving Dove. We talk to Lingsath and he says, hey, this person, Diving Dove, she refuses to take a break. She will not leave the kitchen for anything. She's got to take care of herself.
Yeah, she's like, there's something going on. It's either burnout, illness, both. Lingsath isn't sure, but he's very concerned.
I mean, I feel like he thinks she's pregnant or something.
There's something, and the game assumes that you know that there's what this is, and I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's an illusion, and it becomes like, when we give her the thing in this quest, it's like suddenly there's this revelation, and we're all going to be like, oh my god, I get it. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, again,
is she constipated? Is that the joke?
my mind went to pregnancy because what else would be a so-called lady problem exactly?
That, yeah, a lady problem that makes her anemic. Like, okay.
Yeah, but that does not track with her hardworking ethic.
Right. If anybody understands what the illusion here is, let us know, because I didn't get it.
Because she seems like she just really wants to work a lot, and maybe she needs to keep her blood sugar up, and maybe she needs to, like, right, you know, keep her energy up and
but
sleep.
But she's also, like, kind of embarrassed that Lyngseth, like, noticed.
Yes,
so this,
right?
this is obviously some kind of, like, personal health issue, and she's like, oh my god, this is embarrassing. Fuck.
Anyway.
I appreciate the thought, but, like, ugh.
So let's actually get there. Lyngseth assigns us to essentially be the stealth caretaker of Diving Dove. He wants us to trick her into eating a pixie plum, a dried pixie plum. This is a fruit that is normally very bitter, but sweetens when dried. So I'm thinking at first that this is like some prolonged metaphor that she'll learn something from this fruit and think that she needs to also dry herself out or something. I don't fucking know. That's
okay,
like, that's like the lesson here. Because I'm just thinking that he wants us to trick her into eating this fruit, and she's going to learn a lesson from it about self-care.
More like, this contains some nutritional value that is particular to your set of needs right now, wink, wink.
That's the actual lesson, yes. My thought, though, before doing this was that she was going to learn that she can sweeten
She's a bitter-ass plum, and she needs to, like,
exactly,
chill out and become, yes, sweeter.
Because, ew, these plums are shit pretty much until they are dried. We get the plums. It's super fucking easy to make if we can track them down on the market board or harvest them.
Did easy.
He says to give them to her, but do not tell her why we're giving her these plums. Just give them over.
Like, old people eat plums, right? Because isn't it good for, like, staying regular?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. So that's the only thing I could think of. Like, what is something that plums are very specific.
So I Googled, like, so what are some herbal remedies for plums? Because I was like, what is going on here? I was wondering if there's some folklore remedy that was being alluded to.
Right, yeah.
But I could not find anything besides some hella homeopathic shit or what you said, Jen, about being regular.
Yep. I'm like, I would be embarrassed too if my chef was like, you seem constipated. Here are some plums. Like, it can't be that. So what the fuck else is it? I'm dying to know.
We keep talking about it before we hit there. So we give her the plums. We're like, hey, Diving Dove, here's some plums. She says, fine, I'll take a moment to try your plums because my dodo's roosting anyway, so I can spare a second from my self-imposed busy work schedule. Mm-hmm. She tries them and is like, oh, that's great. What are these? We tell them that they are these pixie plums. And she is shocked. She's like, wow, I thought they were bitter, but these are sweet.
Yeah. And, like, also, aren't plums normally given for, how dare you? And she doesn't complete the sentence, but, like, it dawns on her why she's being given plums. And I still don't know.
So we tell her that Lyngseth was actually the one that put us up to it.
It's even worse.
And she gets really mad at first. And then she's like, well, I guess it's a little sweet that he cares so much.
And I have been neglecting my health. I'll try to stay on top of it. Message received. Thank you.
But we get more mysteries here. This one's a bit more straightforward. Next quest step, same thing. Lyngseth is still worried about Diving Dove. And
this has to be pregnancy. It fucking has to be.
Right?
Yeah.
But again, she does not seem like the type who would, if she's working so hard here, she's not making time, I'm assuming, for her personal life. So.
And she still goes home at night, you know.
Maybe personal life is a metaphor for her child, her unborn child. I don't fucking know.
You know, maybe Lyngseth knows that, you know, she's newly married. And of course, because of we're in Eorzea, so this is like traditional times. And, you know, so people are going to be probably trying for a family. And he's noticing that maybe she's looking a little pale, like she's a little anemic, maybe a little lethargic, sluggish. Going to the bathroom morning, you know, all of these things he's noticing. And she's trying so hard to maintain this professional appearance, but he's not an idiot, and, you know, contextual clues, blah, blah, blah. So that has to be it.
That seems like the most straightforward explanation. So I'm with you, Jen, on that one.
Well, hopefully somebody can tell us definitively, because literally, like, this, so yeah, this is level 25 and she's still, like, not doing great. She's basically exhibiting symptoms of anemia. And Lyngseth is like, you know what she needs? Some red meat, like a lot of red meat. And like, yeah, I picking up what you're putting down there, bro. So he recommends not just any red meat, but a like a big fat elk goat steak. And the challenge here is to remove the toughness, the gaminess, the pungence of elk goat meat to make it palatable. It's kind of like, you know, this is, you eat it because you need nutrition or whatever. It's not like, it's not an elevated sort of dish, but we're going to make it that way.
The recipe, though, is very basic. It's steak, it's salt, and garlic. That's it.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, again, it's so weird. Some of these things have like 7 ingredients, but this had three.
Which I appreciate because it's going to get real bad pretty soon.
No, like it could have been like parsley, olive oil, smooth butter. It could have added 4 fucking things. Thank you for not.
So we give Dove the elk goat steak and she thinks, again, she's not wised up to our shit. So she's like, oh, you want me to try your steak? Okay. But be warned, I don't like elk goat, so I'll be very judgmental. I'm not going to be a good objective person. But we say, okay, and she tries it, and it's great. We have tenderized the meat, so there's almost no chew, and the garlic rounds out the natural pungent flavor.
Ta-da!
Because it's rich in iron, she says, it's supposed to be good for you, but its natural texture and taste are usually off-putting. She goes on, you know, it's weird that you chose me of all people to try this. Oh, shit. And she figures it out now that, once again, Ling Sap has...
fucking
tricked
beggar,
her into
man.
Eating
yeah.
some food. She's annoyed, but it passes. She says, fine. I like the steak still, so thank you for showing me that I can actually enjoy elk goat steak. You know, back in my home city of Ulda, no chef there would actually have made this sort of thing. They're all about pomp and pretense. You'd think that gold leaf was an essential ingredient the way they act there.
It was like fucking a bunch of salt bays up in Ulda. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's it.
So that's why she left to work in Limsa, was to work with the food and not with
the
flair.
It's about the food, man. Yeah. Good for her.
Next quest.
I like Debbie Nove.
Yeah.
She's good people. Congratulations on the baby. Hopefully. I don't know. So, okay. This is when shit starts to get real. Level 30.
It kind of does, then it gets off real again.
This is the buildup. This is setting the table, so to speak.
Nice.
Ling Sath is in a bit of a pickle. He injured his hand and he can't even lift a skillet. Like he fucked it up.
Yeah, he was trying to catch a falling crate, but he hurt his hand in the process.
Lessons learned, man.
And of all days, an Uldan bigwig is coming today.
And normally, you know, this would be fine. Like, there are plenty of chefs in the Bismarck kitchen to handle this stuff. But this particular, quote-unquote, coddled dignitary has earned himself the title of Chef's Bane because they are a self-described food critic. They are not necessarily qualified to be such, but they are one of the... They're just a rich fuckstick. We don't have a name yet. So it's their influence... So their influence, because of their station in life and not necessarily because of their sophisticated palate and insightful reviews, has run more than a few establishments into the ground. So when this person visits, Ling Sath handles their shit personally to avoid any fuck ups because this man is looking for, well, this person is looking for any excuse. He will find failure when there is none because they're a dick.
Because Ling Sath is hurt, though, he's looking to us, the rising star of the Culinarians Guild, to treat this Chef's Bane to a good meal. But before we do so, why don't we go talk to Dove first? Because she's an Uldan native, she may know something about Chef's Bane, aka Lord Lolorito.
Bum, bum. Bum. Of course it's him. Of course it's him. So, okay, we all know this guy. Okay, so there's that. What makes his visit even more annoying is the fact that he never orders anything off the menu. He just says, impress me. So we have to figure out what to make him. What does he like? We gotta find every possible, like, failure point and deal with it.
Except we don't. So Dove says Lolorito's manservant's here, named Nono Pesa. He's dining here right now. So we just hop over to the deck outside and find his manservant sitting at a table and ask him, hey, what does Lord Lolorito like?
Yeah.
Nono Pesa is a mustachioed Lalafell smoking a pipe. And he's surprised to see us and not Linksath making the food. But finally, he says, someone thought to ask me what to make for my master. He wants nothing more than to make him happy and to ensure his master is in high spirits. And he tells us that just before arriving here, Lolorito mentioned that he was in the mood for some hearty meat. And smoked raptor is a particular favorite of his.
Well, that was easy. All right, cool. We're going to make him some smoked raptor. He's like, well, you can't just give it to him directly. You're going to give it to me. I'm going to determine if it's good enough for him. And we'll go from there.
This is our first actual high-quality turn-in of the quest line. And also the first fucking pain-in-the-ass ingredient dish, as this requires 5 separate ingredients to make, including 2 crafted ingredients, olive oil and table salt, are second-tier crafts. So you got to make the ingredient, then make the dish from those ingredients. It's a lot.
Yeah.
We make it and hand it over to Nono Pesa.
Like with Mady Maga, we go into the kitchen and he obviously can't eat it. You know, he can't just like take a bite out of it. And he can tell just by sight and smell alone that this is probably the best thing he's ever eaten. Of course.
The best thing he's ever not eaten.
Well, yeah. So Lolorito will definitely, this will be like this is the best smoked raptor that has ever passed before Nono Pesa's discerning nostrils.
So I was disappointed
by
this.
I've never eaten. Yeah.
This is a fucking Thanksgiving turkey on this pedestal. It looks so unappealing.
It's, yeah.
This does not look like Chef's Vane's dish. It looks like a turkey from the oven. Just smoking a fucking raptor torso and handing it over, it seemed like he'd like something a bit more elevated. Don't just give him a Thanksgiving turkey.
Also, the image for the smoked raptor is like a raptor shank. It's not the whole ass body of the thing. I'm like, how did we get like a turkey-sized thing out of a raptor? I've seen how big those things are. Anyway, whatever. Suspension of disbelief. We made an amazing thing. This is the graphic they decided to use. And Nono Pesa is hella impressed. He will have nothing bad to say. The Bismarck's reputation is still, you know, pristine. Great job. Give my compliments to Linksath. Blah, blah, blah. Great.
So done. Quest step over. Next up, we're asked to see Letitia, who is the guild's bookkeeper. This is an odd request, but we head on over. Letitia is a hero wearing the standard Bismarck uniform, the hat and apron, and she hangs out behind the reception counter. It seems like she's here now to teach us about the restaurant business, but if we don't mind, would we please whip her up a quick bite to eat before we get down to it? She's hungry and we've got some ground to cover here, so how about just whipping up some quick ratatouille? You don't just whip up ratatouille, Jen.
Correct. But it also has to be said that before Letitia worked for the guild, she was a customs agent at Melvon's Gate, which we recall fondly, from the Arcanist questline. Our substitute mentor was also a customs agent for Melvon's Gate. Anyway, so we do, and she actually asks us, make me some ratatouille, but make sure that it's like really good. I want your best example of ratatouille. I'm like, bitch, I'm not here to like make you dinner. Okay, apparently I am. Whatever. So we'll make you some of the best ratatouille ever.
This is a 6-ingredient high quality dish, which I had to actually go and gather 2 things for this time. So 2 separate destinations to actually make the thing, because I do not want to buy 99 fucking wizard eggplants and have 98 left over. Thank you, Market Board.
Oh, yeah. Ramhorn zucchini, wizard eggplant, ruby tomato, lavender oil, I think.
Letitia eats the dish. It's great. And now we get to work. But she says this was a ploy, actually. She wants to sample everyone's ratatouille at the stage so that she can mark their progress. The simplicity of the dish shows every chef's individual flair. And because we had to turn around this amazing ratatouille really fast, this is just like her need to procure goods and services for the guild quickly so that the guild can function. So now we've learned what her job feels like from having made the ratatouille, so quest over. The lesson about bookkeeping was making ratatouille.
Yep,
Nailgen.
Just fucking nothing.
Bookkeeping's locked like Ratatouille. You gotta make it fast. I don't know, Jen. I disagree with the lesson, but.
This is like a filler step.
So this is what bothered me. It feels like this should have been before the Chef's Bane step. I'm guessing they wanted to have time pass between the next upcoming event, but also it just feels weird to have cooked for Chef's Bane and now we're being judged by the bookkeeper. That seems like a lower tier. Okay, so you're up and coming, so let's see how you're doing type thing.
Right. I feel like the test was the thing I did like last week.
Yeah, exactly.
But okay.
Anyway, so that step's over and we go back to Lyngsath, and once again, Letitia wants our help.
She has a secret, or rather this thing that she needs help with is a secret. So the Admiral is hosting a tea.
What? She's pregnant.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? The Admiral is hosting a tea with visiting dignitaries, and the Bismarck has been asked to provide the food. The proposed menu is, so this is for a tea and not a dinner. We're trying to keep it casual. Blood currant tart, that sounds amazing. Pastry fish, also sounds amazing. Chamomile tea, take it or leave it. And each of which she would like to sample ahead of time.
So this is the weird thing about this quest. It's framed like we're making some sample dishes to assemble the menu, but it's going to turn out apparently that the dishes we made are actually what's being eaten. I don't understand the exact events. I think that what happens is that off screen, we make the things again for the actual
right thing. Yeah, this is not what is going to be served. But this is the menu, and she wants to make sure we're going to make it right.
Right. But we, at some point in time, that's not in any quest step, make this food, apparently, because, spoiler, we get picked to be the chef for this event.
Yeah, because we nailed it.
Yeah, but usually, though, there's no off-screen crafting that we do.
I see.
Regardless, though, so yeah, we make the things Jen said. These are three high-quality dishes, and this is a nightmare quest step. The tart has six ingredients, five of which are crafted. Five of these six are crafted ingredients. So this thing takes collectively 11 crafts.
Yeah, you get the pie dough. They've got the pie crust. You've got the fucking maple sugar. You got the fucking... I forget.
Sour cream, maybe, in that.
Oh, smooth butter, maybe?
Maybe, one of the two.
Gelatin.
There we go, yes. So it's a lot, point being. That's the tart. Then the pastry fish, six ingredients. Mercifully, both that and the tart require pie dough.
Yeah, I am so glad I'm a hoarder. Like, I had, like, this stuff just stashed in there, ready to go. Oh, I did have to make more pie crusts, actually, but those were easy.
The tea, thankfully, takes a mere three ingredients to make.
Yeah.
And we're done. We bring back the dishes. And the response to this is distinct. So I'm going to quote it here exactly, Jen. As Letitia samples our demonstration dishes, she regales us with food poetry. She walks us through this future event to happen later on.
Oh, this is weird.
As soon as our guests seat themselves at the table, their noses will be enticed by the rich, relaxing fragrance of the chamomile. Having taken a warming sip of tea, their attention will turn next to the tart and pastry. For an instant, they are at a loss, as both dishes are prepared with such loving detail. Is this mere food to consume or art to admire?
Like, should we be embarrassed that we're witnessing this? Should we give her a moment privately to go through this, like, this imaginary scenario?
She goes on. They feel a twinge of sadness that they must deface such a beauty, but that sensation is short-lived. For no sooner do their teeth break the flaky crust than they experience a veritable symphony of tastes and textures. Also, this was actually a semi-ruse, as she was kind of judging us as well to see if we're good enough
yet again
to cook for the event.
Ulterior motives. She can't just ask us a thing. She's got to ask us a thing and be like, haha, switcheroo. I was actually needing this for some other nefarious... Just ask us. God.
I got confused here, Jen, because I recall the final quest step in this chain. And I thought that she was testing us for that event, but no, that's a separate event entirely.
Totally separate. Yeah, it's separate people.
Dignitaries. Yep.
Yeah,
so
Admiral's
no.
Just like hosting a bunch of shit.
Yep, pretty much. And speaking of, we're now made the personal chef for the Admiral's functions.
Cool.
For two more functions, then we quit. Then we're out of the game.
We gotta get back to, you know,
being the warrior of light, saving the world, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. I've got words about that too in a moment, Jen. So stay tuned for that. So because we're now the go-to chef for the Admiral's functions, next up we are tapped to cook for a visiting dignitary from Ishgard.
An emissary from the Holy See of Ishgard. Like, whoa, yeah, this is a diplomatic minefield, potentially. So what the Admiral has chosen to do, instead of loading up the table with a bunch of limps and stuff, she wants to, again, because like traveling is no small feat here. It takes some time to travel from like region to region. We have to remember that. Like, you know, it doesn't just take 30 seconds or like a little airship or whatever. Like this is a long journey. He's probably been away from home for weeks.
Because no one but us can use etherites.
Yeah. I bet they're, you know, like.
It's their first time coming here. So they got to slow boat it.
Well, yeah. So I'm assuming, and also they probably are a little xenophobic. So it makes sense for her to want to serve this person.
Yeah. That bothered me at first because I don't want to eat.
Don't,
you know,
serve me the shit I eat all the goddamn time.
Yeah,
like,
I
I'm traveling.
Eat your food.
Show me what you've
but
got.
If anyone's going to be like, fuck your
that
shit,
way,
I want to eat my own shit. That'd be Ishgard.
Yeah, totally. So, and this is more like trying to play it safe, probably, you know, so giving them a taste of home as a gesture of goodwill.
Yeah.
All right, great. And if we can do it right, then we're doing their culture justice in a way. So
the dish is Zemail Gradin. Did you know, Jen, that Zemail Gradin is named after House Zemail?
What? Crazy.
As the warm, hearty dish was served first to their workers.
Yeah, this is working class origins, which also confuses me. Not that working class origin food cannot eventually become, you know, elevated at some point, but
it can and has been.
Yeah, of course. So, like, how long was, is this like 100 years ago? And now it's like a, you know, it's like an honored traditional thing at the table.
I would
like,
guess,
yeah, it's
this
just like
has
it's
become a normal cultural food, and the quote working class get a much less, I guess, artisanal version than what we're crafting here.
Correct. Yeah. Because, I mean, it is just, it's, you know, it's potatoes.
Yep. Just potatoes.
It's meat and potatoes.
This is actually, Jen, 6 ingredients, but thankfully just one crafted ingredient.
I don't know. There's eft. There's eft in here. It's ground eft and potatoes and laurel.
There's some dairy in there, too. Either a butter or cream. Can't recall which. Either way, yeah. So that's the gratin.
It sounds really good.
So here we are, Jin, the final quest. Lingsath is sure glad to see us because the Sultana of Ulda is visiting and she has requested us personally to cook for her.
Oh yeah, word gets around. Like we did with Lord Lolorito's visit, we need to do some reconnaissance to figure out what the Sultana likes. And
this is our sink or swim moment. Either we become a star from this or we'll be wiped out. We will never recover from displeasing the Sultana. Lingsath tells us to maybe consult with Diving Dove, our local Uldan, for some info as to what we might cook for the Sultana to meet her tastes.
Yeah, because the stakes are so high, it feels very much that Lord Lolorito has orchestrated this whole thing.
Diving Dove tells us that there are whispers that Chef Spain himself has arranged for the Sultana to come here just to eat our food and to give us an opportunity to fail. This is personal, apparently. This is not a coincidence. This is not her here on other business. She, if the rumors are to be believed, has been compelled to come here by Lord Lolorito, who can do so because he's on the syndicate. He can say, hey, we got to have a meeting with Limsa over trade BS, whatever. And she's got to go because she is the, you know, the figurehead of Ulda.
Right. Which, like what a dick. So he's hoping that the Sultana eats shitty food. I mean, well, of course he does. It's like this guy is planning on his own. He's like trying to open his own 5-star restaurant. And he's trying to eliminate the competition.
We talk to Letitia next for more details.
And we learned that Lolorito has done everything within his power to limit access to the Sultana or anyone who might have information about her preferences. Letitia, however, has a possible workaround. She wants us to ask a former colleague of hers at Melvon's Gate, who handles exports to Ulda, as well as some Ulda natives around town. And so we go talk to four people, including her former colleague.
Four people. This is kind of dumb. Everything everyone tells us is absolutely true. We talk to random Uldans on the street saying, hey, what is the Sultana like? And they've heard some rumor and it's correct.
I read in a tabloid once that she likes whatever. So we talked to Coco Rama. He's like, ooh, I know that she likes crown pie because I went to a bakery in Ulda once to get some crown pie and I learned that she bought the whole store. Cool, good tip. Next guy, Gigiwazu. One time at the markets, he overheard a merchant saying that all of his beef was going to the royal kitchens to make Sultana some beef stew.
Yes, so the street vendors saying that his meat's going to the Sultana's kitchens. Yes, this secondhand meat vendor is a verifiable source, apparently.
This seemed like it's all hearsay.
The worst possible lead, but it's actually correct.
The only thing that's legit so far is Kokorama's experience, because, yeah. Now we talk to Rose. And this is like, she references the tabloid. It's not a tabloid, but there was an article in the Mithril Eye about the Sultana's visit to Gridania. And it made a point to say how much she enjoyed their local dish, Trapper's Quiche. So log that away. And then we finally go to the Arcanist Guild and the Melvon's Gate headquarters to talk to Rube Epokan. And in the classic style of a customs tactician, Rube surmises that the recent depletion of F-tail from Limson Markets, perpetrated by none other than the East Aldenar Trading Company that Lolorito owns, speaks to Lolorito's handiwork and an attempt to prevent us from making eft steak for the Sultana's visit. Therefore, we should definitely make eft steak.
Apparently, he's going to tell his company to buy out the whole market. Just despite us personally.
Yeah, like he knows the Sultana loves it and he's going to prevent us from making it for her.
We report back to Letitia over our finds and she thinks about it for a minute and says, let's make everything.
Yeah.
All the things.
Yeah, let's... I mean, it is a banquet. That like, I like, wasn't that always going to be the case though? Where we're just going to plop like one steak in the middle of a table and be like, have at it, y'all.
So we make the Limsa Street Rumor Banquet. And I think that planning a menu just around rumors is not the best course.
Yeah.
Conveniently, these things have some actual flow to them, but still, I...
There is 100% a chance that the Sultana's representative would hand a menu to the Admiral's representative, and that would get made.
We'll learn more later on, but she apparently asked for us to treat her to a meal, right? So in this case, she wants to have what we're making. So it makes sense to me that it wouldn't be you were making this, 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 and this. It's going to be, please, you know, give us your best.
I mean, it was always up to us anyway. Like she, according to what we were told, was deferring to us to make this thing.
Yes.
And she's like the Sultana, she's a nice person. We're going to make some stuff. It's going to be delicious. She's not going to be like, oh my God, this is gross. She's a very graceful,
yes, absolutely,
polite person.
Yes. I'm not worried unless we make like garbage about her.
Yeah, there
saying
at no
anything
point
bad about our food.
Would Nanamo be like, oh, I'm not a huge fan of steak, but you prepared it very well. I understand the skill involved. Thank you very much. She's not going to go around being like, you know what? Fire that bitch who made me the steak because I don't like it. You know, she's not that person. And Lolorito is expecting that kind of reaction. It's like he's incapable of surmising somebody else's character.
Yeah, there are some flaws here with the setup, but the scene is fun, so
and
pressing on.
Yeah.
So we have to make now, this is the most fuck you player quest step in all of the crafting quests. We have to make 4 high quality culinarian dishes. Eft steak, 6 ingredients, 1 of them crafted. Beef stew, same thing. Trapper's quiche, 6 ingredients, 2 crafted. Including Apkalu egg, which I had to go server hopping to find. I'll tell you what, Jin. Eft tail, selling for like 2 gil on the market board. Easy. Apkalu egg, he fucking bought that shit out because I had to go to a different server to find it.
I swear to God, I have like a pile of them shits you could have asked me. I'm like, when am I going to use these? Oh my God.
I was not aware that Jen was hoarding eggs. Thank you for your years old egg.
Well, now I know I can sell them and make some money.
Yeah, so that was my pinch point ingredient. There were zero fucking eggs on the market board when I went shopping for them. Not even like the one that's for 10 million gil for fuck knows what reason. Just zero eggs, period.
Yeah, people, I think, do that to get money to like one of their alts or something.
Yeah. The final dish, though, is crowned pie. Six ingredients, two crafted ingredients, including the finishing touch, a literal tiny crown.
Which you have to buy.
Yes.
You can't make it.
No. It's sold by the Culinarians Guild vendor. This is collectively, not counting the two-step ingredients, 24 ingredients needed for this thing. This is a crazy endeavor.
Yeah, I think I bought two of these four things. I'm like, I'm tired. I'm just buying it. I drew the line at a $7,500 crown pie because I looked at the ingredients. I'm like, I have all of these. I'm just going to make it.
So after that marathon cook-off, we head to the Bulwark Hall and deliver the goods ourselves. We are shown into the chambers here. And we find, sitting around a circular table, there is Lord Lotharito, Nanamo, Sultana Nanamo, Einzar Slefferson, Admiral Merylvib, and a woman I don't recognize. This is a Heor wearing a hat, like a sailor's hat. We see her from the back and from above, so I can't see her face, but I don't recognize who this person would be.
Yeah,
no, but it seems weird that everyone else is a notable figure. Plus one rando. She must be someone. I'm just not thinking of who.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Great.
Yeah, I literally was like, all these people and plus another person.
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah, they're all just sitting at a big round table. This is an actual cutscene.
This is the first of the game's food porn scenes. First of many.
What the fuck?
What the fuck what?
Food porn?
You've never heard that term before?
No.
Are you kidding me? You've never ever heard the term food porn?
I mean, not in the context of, like, Final Fantasy 14 cutscenes. I mean, there's always, like, you know, noun porn, right? Like, oh, this is total...
There are so many scenes in this game where food is lovingly rendered. Characters, various characters enjoy this sumptuous meal. And it's so... I'll deal with it, Jen.
Yeah.
It is a focal point of these scenes.
Okay, yeah. I've just never heard that term used in to describe, you know, Final Fantasy cutscenes with food.
There you go, Jen. You just did.
Yeah. Okay. Weird.
Regardless, then, of Jen's weird hangups about yeah. food porn.
No, my hangup is with the word.
Like I said. Point being, though, this scene takes care to really get into the food, which I appreciate because it's the Culinarian Quest.
Nice.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, they're just eating food. That's
so
cool.
We see Nanamo enjoying a bite of quiche up close. She has, it looks like a pea or something, and she eats this final pea that is covered in sauce, goes into her mouth, close up on the mouth, it vanishes. This is a very detailed scene.
Yeah. Yeah. You can hear the clanking of silverware.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. So they kind of like, you know, we look at the Sultana and she's eating food and enjoying it. And then we cut to Lotharito and his eyes are obscured because he wears that visor with the mesh in it. So, like, you can't see him, but you know he's staring daggers at us under them shits. Because we're standing there with, who are we standing there with? Letitia?
Yes.
Okay.
And we see him later on, he grinds his teeth. His teeth go...
Well, there's a whole escalation. Yeah. Yeah. So right now, he's just like, he's being a good boy.
Sultana Nanamo loves it, Jen. Her sole regret is that she cannot eat another bite. Lotharito says that he's glad that she enjoyed herself so much. The Sultana confirms that his recommendation was indeed astute. A culinarian of surpassing skill is indeed to be found in Limsa Lomensa. The Sultana applauds us from the table, clapping her hands, while in the background, Lotharito seethes.
Well, she also says that she had no idea that the famed Limsan culinarian and her Eorzean champion would be one and the same.
Like, did you get that line, Jen? Because I didn't. Are you kidding me?
Really?
Okay, holy shit. Okay, so pinning that for a hot second. In the background, we see Chef Spain himself. He is pissed off and he's grumbling to himself. how could we have known all of her favorite dishes? Like, yeah. How is this possible?
Yeah, yeah, we fucking got them.
Nanamo overhears them and says, what'd you say? And he says, oh, nothing. I'm just glad that you had a great time. Now, here is the rough spot. And I don't know what trigger happened here, Jen, but this is rough for me, for my character's experience. You were doing this in New Game Plus with your level 90 character. I did this on my podcast character, level 50. We've played through patch 2.2 so far, I believe, in this queue. So that's where we are. We have saved Eorzea from the Garlean menace. We have barged personally into the Fragrant Chamber right in front of the Sultana.
Yeah.
We're on a probably formal name basis at this point
in time. We are known, yeah.
Yes. But what happens here is that Nanamo looks right at me from her seat at the banquet table and asks me for my name.
Mm.
I was like, this must have been a huge miss on the quest giver's part, because this is a level 50 culinary quest. It's not like level 5 and I'm slumming it with my like high level character. If you are leveling your skills alongside the main story quest, you have defeated the ultimate weapon.
Yep.
She knows who the fuck I am. So I don't know what flag gets tripped by you, Jen, but not by me at this point.
I wonder if it's just ARR, just you complete the entire first 2.x, whatever.
That'd be weird, because this is ARR content, right? The chef quest is as well. And I'm assuming that the level 50 Culinarian quest happens before they started dropping patches. You could get to level 50 Culinarian before any post-story patches started dropping, leading to Heaven's Ward.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the issue is here, but apparently whatever you did, Jen, was enough to make her remember you. But she stares dead at me and asks me who I am. Like, what is your name, chef?
Aw.
So that I was heavily dissed.
She didn't recognize you in your little outfit.
That must be it.
Yep.
She's got the old face blindness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a thing.
What it could be also, Jen, and this would kind of be shitty if so, because again, I've seen her, we've met, you know, she knows who the fuck I am, but it might be because you're an Ul'dan character on your main character. Maybe that's why you had that recognition.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, my dear blank. You know, she knew me. She already knew my name and she's like, oh my God, my bestie. And you're also my chef. That's amazing. I was like, yeah, girl, I got you.
So anyway, that aside, she says, you know, thank you, Lotharito, for this recommendation. And my character looks over to Letitia next to me and we exchange glances.
Yeah, wasn't the Sultana the one who asked for us by name? Why is she like surprised that we're involved? This was like her jam. She wanted this, right? Right? And then we're like, you know, and we were like, oh, apologies. We thought you asked for us by name. And she said, no, I left the arrangements up to Lord Lolorito. And she turns to look at him, and the withering look that she gives this man is worth all of the riches of Ul'da.
And the scene ends there. We go back to the guild, and Lyngstath is overjoyed. The admiral commended Lyngstath personally for training such a great culinarian, but he says that we did all the work. And we are bound to reach great heights, but remember, it's passion that makes a culinarian. The end.
The end.
Notably for me here, Jen, Lyngstath is one of the few actually good guild masters in this game.
Yeah.
He's not absorbed in his own personal bullshit.
He is present.
He's present. He is encouraging,
supportive.
But also he's critical, but encouraging.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's not, you know, I'm going to physically and or mentally abuse you, or so consumed with his personal drama to actually tend to the guild. No, he's there to teach, and he's seems to be good at it as well. So good job.
Bravo.
Probably the best guild master in the game, honestly.
Yeah.
He's not very interesting, I'll say, but I mean, if we're here to learn.
There's no drama, so he's not interesting. Yeah.
Good thing for a guild master. Yeah. Let's be clear here. We don't want them to export their drama onto us. Everyone else, take note.
Mm-hmm.
But goddamn, Jen, this questline fucking fluffs your ego so hard. It's insane.
They all
by level
do.
30, we are impressing the chef's bane.
Yeah.
To compound that, though, somehow we, some nobody, I don't understand why Lord Lolorito has made it his personal vendetta, his company's problem, in fact, in a sense, to ruin us personally. I kind of see it once we are the Warrior of Light. Maybe we're too big for our britches, in a sense. You know, he wants to say, let's put this guy in his place because I can't infringe upon his Warrior of Lightness. Let's at least stomp on his chef aspirations.
No, he sees a rising star and he's got to like shut that shit down. That's just probably where that's an instinct of his.
But on his part, to get fed food by us at level 30, and assuming that, you know, if we're leveling our culinarian and our actual job, like our martial job at the same time, at level 30, we're a no-name person. We fought Ifrit, and that's it, I think, around that point. But that's enough for him to put his sights on us and say, fuck this guy in particular. I'm going to fucking ruin this guy. Let's get the Sultana involved in this scheme to ruin this guy.
Maybe it was because his butler told him that we had asked him about what he liked. He didn't like that level of
planning,
manipulation, you know, behind the scenes plotting and whatever. So he thought, like, wow, this person is a threat. Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, it made for some pretty fun content. So
yeah,
whatever. It really informed everybody's character very nicely. So, yeah.
I like this quest overall, Jen. I do like how we camp out with different members of the guild for a bit. There's no one and done, meet a person.
It feels like an actual guild.
Yeah, it's fun times in the Culinarians Guild. That's the quest theme. There's no real overarching story here. It's just the daily business of the guild.
Yeah, basically.
Which doesn't really, I guess, make for the most memorable story. And honestly, I couldn't recall anything about this except for the level 50 quest, because that moment with Nanamo was very distinct in my memory. But beyond that, I recalled nothing. And frankly, there's not much to recall. It is just working in the guild, making food.
Yeah.
Hanging out with people. It's good. It's fun, but it's not especially notable either.
It's very wholesome.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Wholesome times with Lingzath.
Mm-hmm.
Any other comments, Jen?
No, we're good.
Cool. Next time, we are talking about the Sahagin tribe quests. Right, Jen?
Apparently. I'm halfway through the second tier.
Great. Doing great then. So we will see you then to make Jen happy.
And that will do it for today's episode. Thank you all so much for listening and existing and being cool. If you want to get in touch with us, you can at podreturnffxiv@gmail.com. You can check the show notes for our Discord. Get in there. You can join us for group runs. Share screenshots of your glams. Talk about like all sorts of stuff. It's a really great group of people. And we also have our Patreon, patreon.com/podreturnffxiv. For about a month, you'll get access to some bonus episodes that we publish about the seasonal events of the game. And that is also where we have our Final Fantasy XI series Vanadiel events Blainer going on. So check that out. And with that, we hope you enjoyed the episode. Have a good day or night. And we will see you next time.